Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, let me ask you this question, guys. If this was asked, if DeAndre Hopkins retires, did the Texans win the trade?
Yes. Yes.
So, by the way, DeAndre Hopkins isn't retiring.
No.
And he was talking about, man, if I got to get this vaccine, and I'm thinking about my football career. And then he said, y'all, I got about 10 years left, so stop. Okay.
Well, he thought about the $42 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to go ahead and play.
Yeah. And plus, you're one of the best receivers in the game.
But you know what? This whole story about them not wanting to take the vaccine, that just shows you how passionate people are about not taking the vaccine. I'm like, okay. I'm like, that's a little weird. I'm like,
it is amazing. Like, and Sam Darnold says, he's pushing back on it. I don't want to get the vaccine. Now, here's the deal though. And they brought it up on the show before us. If Sam Darnold gets sick, I mean, how bad is he hurting his team? Carolina doesn't have a quarterback. It just kills the organization that your guy. But how bad is it if like your third string left tackle or your backup center or some guy on the practice squad gives everybody COVID because he wouldn't get a vaccine, and now you lose a game check because the NFLPA is actually backing this plan of withholding pay if a team forfeits. I can't imagine this in any other sport, though. That's how, baseball obviously would never go along with this because their union it disagrees with everything. And you're telling me you're going to withhold our pay because we're sick? So there's no chance. The NFLPA getting behind this is amazing to me.
Yeah.
Basketball. Hell, you could sit and just say, I'm not playing, and they'll just, okay. All right, we'll pay you. Don't worry. It's okay.
I can see one side of it where some people just don't want to get vaccinated, and because people have gotten the virus after being vaccinated. I mean, it happens. But I did see where if you have the vaccine, the protocol is just a few days as opposed to 10 days, which changes the whole scenario of having to forfeit a game.
Oh, absolutely. And Pro Football Talk said this. Here's the reality. In any union, the majority rules. In the NFLPA, the majority of the players are already gotten vaccinated. So that's that. So they're saying what the NFLPA is firmly behind the NFL is saying, go get vaccinated. What the hell is wrong with you? Why would you hurt your football team? Because you're not going to get vaccinated. It's a different deal. The protocol, everything, like you said, is totally different for vaccinated players.
Yep.
There's a lot of big, dumb football energy going on right now, football player energy. And I'm not talking about fighting back against the vaccine. That's your own personal choice. I don't really particularly care unless you're ruining my Saturday or Sunday. Then I might be upset if a game gets canceled. But I just hope the guys who are running on Twitter having these uninformed conversations about things will go on Twitter if they get the vaccine and they cost themselves a game. Because, they'll hide behind personal privacy and talk about how that's my health. We don't need to talk about it. If you have decided to talk about this stuff on Twitter, Jonathan Feliciano, one of the Bills guards, is talking about how it's Fauci lie, people die, whatever, all the hashtags. I hope all these guys take to Twitter and accept responsibility if a game gets canceled because of them. You're being very public about something that you would maintain as a private thing. Don't be private if a game gets forfeited because of you, because people, you're going to cost your teammates game checks, because if they get into a protocol situation because you got COVID because you're unvaccinated, I think you should tell people, but they're not going to do it. I just don't. The energy is silly. If you don't like it, then go. Why are you talking about it so much? At least in my eyes, I feel like it's dumb.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see it this year. I think we're going to see somebody have to forfeit. I mean, just the beginning of the story, because there's even though some of the teams say 80% of them of their team has been vaccinated, there's a lot of players that haven't been vaccinated, and training camps are starting. So,
yeah. D. Green says the vaccine plan was agreed upon and voted on last year. So
it's
still something what's the difference when it was voted on? And
well,
when
yeah,
it was,
it's not new.
He's saying it was before everybody was vaccinated. This was voted on last year. That you forfeit and lose a game check, that was voted on last year? I didn't see that.
I saw reports that the vaccine policy is mostly unchanged. Now, the NFL went out of their way to reschedule these games because they wanted to get them all in. The policy now, at least the NFL's policy, has changed in that regard, where it's like, we're not going to – look, if a game gets missed, we're not going to bend over backwards to make sure it gets played.
No. The team that is the culprit for causing the forfeit loses.
Yeah.
Forfeits the game.
I think last year –
and that's the way it should be.
Because last year, we saw games on, what, Tuesdays and Wednesdays?
Yeah,
games,
right.
I think they decided they're not going to do that
this year. That's a mess. You know what? Get vaccinated, and we won't have any of these issues. This vaccine thing is just crazy to me. It's just crazy.
It is, you know, like Dale said, it's a personal choice for most people, but I'm like, I'm on the side of get vaccinated.
Well,
I'm like, okay.
I don't mind the personal choice. That's whatever. I just, the conversation seemed really, really silly because you're going back and forth with your teammates about it. Cole Beasley is spending a lot of time discussing this with people who he doesn't know. I just don't think they're going to have the same type of energy. If the Bills miss if the Bills have a game forfeited, is Cole Beasley going to run to Twitter and go like, it's on me. This was my fault.
Well,
I don't think he will.
When game checks are lost because of Cole Beasley?
Somebody else will say it.
Guess what's going to happen? Cole Beasley's going to get his little ass beat in that locker room.
I imagine his teammates who don't agree with his stance will have words for him. I just think it's a lot of posturing and it's a lot of talk. But when it comes down to it, the game check will overpower any of this personal freedom stuff that's going on right now.
But at least Cole Beasley is a contributor. When again, a practice squad guy or a special teams guy causes an outbreak in the locker room because he's not vaccinated, and you want to talk about those offensive linemen that are vaccinated, what they're going to do to that guy?
Well, one of their starters is one of their starting offensive linemen is one of the guys, you know, who's in the back and forth. There's Jerry Hughes involved, Jonathan Feliciano. There's a division even amongst the Bills themselves, and they're talking about it on Twitter. Some guys are on one side, some guys are on the other.
Yeah. There's a bar in California selling fake vaccination cards. They can get one of those. You know what? You know what?
Fake vaccination card. I've heard it all now.
I mean, you got fake IDs, but fake vaccination cards.
Oh my God.
So what happens if there's an outbreak among both teams playing? A double forfeit. They both lose. You're both losers.
Wow.
Dr. Angela Rasmussen says, if Sha'Carri Richardson loses her earned spot at the Olympics for using legal cannabis because it is a personal choice that theoretically endangers her, then these 100 athletes should also lose their spots for personal choices that definitely endanger everyone else. Disgraceful. About 100 of the 613 U.S. athletes descending on Tokyo for the Olympics are unvaccinated. So that's what Dr. Angela Rasmussen is saying. I don't get it. You work your whole life to get to the Olympics. Now, there have been a couple. There's one guy that was doing some blow. Did you see this guy? An Australian equestrian.
Is that a problem?
Doing blow.
He was doing blow. He was doing. So he said, and he said, "Well, is it a performance enhancer?" He goes, "No, I was just partying. I was just having a good time.
Is Coke a performance enhancer for riding a horse?
It can't help me and my horse. I'm just having a good time, everybody. Sorry." And then there's another guy who is, you know, he's being confined for a sexual abuse violation that is under investigation anyway. But I can't believe you work your ass off your whole life to get to the Olympics, and then you go to a party and do some blow. Okay, I get that because you're an enthusiast, but not getting vaccinated, you're gonna risk all the work that you've put in. And the potential payoff of fame and fortune and medal and what you've worked your whole life for because you don't want to get a shot? I just won't understand that.
That goes back to when I said, I go, people are passionate about this, about not getting the shot. It's, you know, it's the personal choice, personal right. And I'm like, man, that's some passion right there, because what you're saying is true. I mean, you got so much on the line just to get a little shot, you know, and I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, I tested negative five times. I got tested five times and was negative. I started thinking I was Charlton Heston, the Omega Man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know if I can get it. A couple of times I thought I had it. I had to have it. I'm so close proximity, got negative every time, and I went and got it anyway.
I just went and got the vaccine. But, yeah, might as well. So you never had it?
I never had it.
You might be the Omega Man.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. I got it, and the whole family got it, and still got and went and got vaccinated. Because
I will tell you this, that second Pfizer shot, woo, man.
They hit you?
Oh, man. They said that. They go, if you've never had it, the second shot's going to get you. If you had it, the first shot will make you a little bit sick. Man, I took that second shot. The next day, I got up. I couldn't sleep, and I got up, went to the gym early, worked out 6 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, sack of bricks, man. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, like, I was raging flu, sick all day, in bed. About 9 o'clock that night, I'm like, man, I feel all right. It was like a 12-hour deal. Yeah. I'm like, I'm okay.
Well, that's weird. Good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. No. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. I don't get it. I'll never get it. You all have your reasons, you non-vaccinated people. I guess it's a political thing. I don't know
personal
what it is.
Choice thing. Personal
it's a personal
thing.
Choice. Look,
fine. I hope. Everyone does what they're comfortable with. I just don't want to wake up on a Saturday and know a game's canceled. I'm just being selfish.
That's your personal choice.
I just don't want the game. I don't care if you get vaccinated or not. Just don't ruin my football this year. That's all. That's all I care about.
I can see, Dell, I can see getting up on Sunday morning and turning on the TV, the pregame shows. Oh, and you know, Bills and Jets canceled, you know, COVID. I'm like, man.
If Alabama's quarterback Bryce Young doesn't want to get vaccinated and he just so happens to miss a Miami game, I'm fine with it. But overall, I just like everybody to be available to play.
Do you mean that guy? You think that guy's going to risk his $1 million?
Maybe it's a personal choice.
Personal choice? Bryce Young has already got close to $1 million in endorsements.
I think that's a recruiting ploy by Saban.
I think he's gotten back. He said, you know what? Give me 6 shots.
I'm going to stand on firm and say that's a recruiting ploy by Saban. I'm going to say it's probably not that close to $1 million. Maybe it is. I'm just going to say that's Saban doing
his
thing.
Maybe it was one guy says, I'll give him $1 million.
Maybe. To sign this.
Yeah, here, Bryce. Sign this. You never know. What position actually for the Houston Texans is actually not horrible? Which position What position group is actually not horrific? We'll tell you on the other side.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So the Houston Texans start training camp next Wednesday. Woohoo! Has there been more excitement for a training camp than this one? really is. I think the whole city is just can't wait.
Buzzing.
It is. It's a buzz. It is a buzz right now. So in every listing of any kind of ability by for NFL teams, the Texans rank 31st or 32nd. They and the Lions are pretty much last.
Oh, man, when you're ranked with
in
the Lions,
every category,
when you're ranked with the Lions, that's just a good feeling.
Well, Dell thinks that the Texans are the Lions, but the Texans have a lot more playoff success than the Lions do. Lions suck. Anyway, so they just, in every category, it doesn't matter what the category is, they're 31st or 32nd. So Pro Football Focus ranked, you know, every position, offensive line, running backs, wide receivers, D-line, linebackers, defensive backs, all of them. Which position group do you think ranks the highest of all of the position groups?
I'm looking down the roster right now, and I don't know half the names on the roster. So.
You're like all of us, Bob. All of us are the same.
Man, which one is the best? They rank the best.
Yeah, which position group? It's actually going to be, I think, a little bit surprising.
Is it the defensive line?
It is not the defensive line.
Okay. You want me to give you another guess? Yeah. Secondary. Okay, that was okay.
Secondary
because they do have some players.
Well, they
back
did
there.
Pick yeah. up Desmond King.
Yeah.
They get Bradley Roby back.
Yep.
They did pick up Terrence Mitchell. They do have Justin Reed.
Yep.
Who ranks now? He ranks in the 79th percentile of all safeties in coverage grade since he was drafted in 2018. Which is pretty good. Bradley Roby, 71.5 PFF. Desmond King, 67 PFF grade in 2020. Solid play over the past few years. Vernon Hargreaves is an issue.
What about Lonnie Johnson? Where is he ranked?
Lonnie Johnson is not mentioned here he's Lonnie Johnson.
I mean, he hasn't been off the chain yet. He'll be unleashed this year.
Now he's off the chain. He's off the chain this year. Terrence Mitchell. So they ranked them 24th. They ranked the Texans secondary 24th, which is like, woohoo! We're 24th! 24th! Arguably the worst quarterback situation in the league. It would be a top 5-6 quarterback situation with Deshaun, and it's probably... is there any quarterback in the league that would be... Between Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor, is there a worse quarterback situation in the NFL right now?
Denver? Bridgewater /
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock.
Maybe that's worse, I guess. That's worse, although we haven't seen Tyrod Taylor play for a while.
Correct, but we saw Teddy, and Carolina didn't like it very much.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, so that would be, are those two?
The Eagles thing might not be good either.
Well, Jalen Hurts,
and whoever.
It's a small sample size, but it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would be another one that's a.
And the Colts are depending on the guy who got benched for Jalen Hurts. Carson Wentz.
Well, Carson Wentz is in Indy.
That's what I said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Colts are depending on the guy who got...
But I think the reuniting with Frank Reich
has got
everybody. Yeah, hopeful. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Are you trying to talk yourself out of having the Texans have the worst quarterback situation?
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
Detroit?
Jared Goff is better, right?
He's
better than Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah,
yes.
I guess he's better.
Yes.
We'll see.
History says he is, but we'll see what happens in Detroit because he has the stink of Detroit on him. So we'll see.
Right. It's the worst wide receiver group with Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb.
Brandon Cooks is a legitimate NFL player.
Yeah. He's one of two fantasy draftable players on the Texans.
Yes. You'd have to see if there's no other wide receiver roster in the league like that. Like, yeah, the Eagles have been pretty bad, but they did draft Devontae Smith.
Isn't the drop-off from there remarkable, though? Especially in, and I think, doesn't that include the tight end position, too?
Which isn't great. It's, look, John, it's a reason why we think they're going to be awful and why they're not favored in a game this year.
Yeah.
It's bad all around.
No, they're bad everywhere.
Yeah.
I did see a stat. There was a stat this morning on the show, which tells me, I'm going to tell you this right now, I don't think the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl.
Huh.
Okay, that's a stretch, but go ahead.
All right, here's why. Only one player that was the highest paid at his position has won a Super Bowl over the last, I don't know what the number of years is, but it's been a while. If you're the highest paid player at your position, if you have a player that is the highest paid at his position, only one player, and that was Rob Gronkowski, has won a Super Bowl.
Really?
And yeah. He was playing.
So who do the Texans have?
Laramie Tunsil.
Aha.
Laramie Tunsil. So the Texans are not so going to win the Super Bowl.
You were on the fence before.
Yeah, I didn't know, but this pretty much seals the deal that the Texans are not going to win the Super Bowl.
I can't believe they haven't traded Laramie Tunsil, but I guess they can't find anybody to take the salary.
Who's going
to
take that $22 million a year?
Exactly.
Well, no, you got to have some football players too, don't you? I mean, you want to.
Why? He's like the only one. Why do you need him?
You know, that's where the $22 million really stands out. He's like, I'm still getting my $22 million.
You're paying a guy on a, like, you pay an elite tackle that much money when you expect to be good. Not, well, you don't pay any tackle that money. Only the Texans decided to do that. But you're paying elite money for a team that isn't going to be good for the next couple of years. What's the difference?
Yeah. Find a suitor.
Yeah, they're stuck.
Go ahead.
Well, particularly because of what you gave up. You're not going to get that back.
No.
No, that's history.
No, you're not going to get that back.
It's in the history books, Dell. It will go down as one of the worst trades ever.
No, DeAndre Hopkins is second. Pshaw. DeAndre Hopkins says, that was nothing compared to this. So Bill O'Brien has a hell of a resume.
He's got a legacy. That's
for sure. Yeah, he sure does. He's left this thing. He has left this thing in just a wonderful, wonderful place. So the Texans, though, there's something to look forward to. Maybe some good defense. Now, the Texans had one of the worst years defensively in NFL history, in that they only intercepted 3 passes all year, and the record is 2. So only intercepting 3 passes all year was really remarkable for this organization. And yeah, we don't figure that they're going to be able to put too much pressure on the quarterback. So while you might have some guys that can actually cover people, you know, how long can you cover them? How long are you going to be able to cover them? Because you're not putting any pressure on the quarterback. He's going to be able to sit back there. I guess Charles Omenihu is going to be somebody that we're going to look to. I guess Shaq Lawson. But historically, Shaq Lawson hasn't exactly been Lawrence Taylor.
No, he's been in that 4 to 6 sack range per season. He's not an elite pass rusher.
But that, for the Texans, is elite. Whitney Mercilus goes he goes 9 games without sniffing a sack. So he is elite right now as far as the Texans are concerned. So there is that. We've got something else to talk about too, is maybe you guys can figure this one out. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with this. But the 33rd, I don't know, do you get the 33rd team? It's a bunch of football people that are writing for this website. Really, really good. Okay. Really good stuff. And they have the 2 most overrated teams for 2021. I agree wholeheartedly with one. And I think it's going to be a long season. And as a matter of fact, there are a lot of these fans in the city of Houston. I think that should be enough of a hint for for all of you out there.
They're on that list every year, I think.
Yeah. Most overrated team coming into 2021. We'll do that on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Actually, you know what? Both of these teams that we talked about that are overrated, this is overrated by the 33rd team. Going into this season, both of these teams have a lot of local ties. They feel like that the Tennessee Titans are one of the two most overrated teams in the NFL. Now, I think Tennessee is underappreciated what they've done the last couple of years. They're a tough out for everybody. They have the best running back in the game in Derrick Henry. It's the style of football, I think, that people don't really appreciate. You know, it's not football 2021 with, you know, Tom Brady throwing how many touchdown passes did he have last year?
Didn't he wind up with 40?
Yeah, 41. You know, with Pat Mahomes flinging it all over the place with, you know, Deshaun, how wonderful Deshaun was. I mean, it's a quarterback's league. Aaron Rodgers, MVP. I think this style of football is probably from the 70s.
Overrated? Is that what
you're
saying?
I think they're underappreciated.
Okay.
According to this 33rd team, they don't feel like that they're all that good. First of all, Ryan Tannehill, he's good. He's just not phenomenal. Can Ryan Tannehill carry you to a title?
Well, with that running game, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you add a Julio Jones with an A.J. Brown, now all of a sudden, you know, maybe Tannehill is better. But Tannehill was pretty good. Yeah.
Their defense is a bigger problem.
Yeah,
for me.
That's a really big problem.
Yeah.
The defense is okay, it says, but they need to generate pressure at a higher clip. They need to do a better job in coverage. Well, that's a problem. When you don't put pressure on the quarterback and you don't cover. They selected Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Multiple back surgeries, though. We'll see whether or not he can get through an NFL season.
And their last year's first-round pick is completely out of the NFL, Isaiah Wilson. Yeah.
That was a huge mistake.
There's a rumor that Caleb Farley had issues feeling his feet because of all the surgeries. So
that's your number one pick?
And you combine him with the one from last year. It's been rough. We'll see. Caleb Farley doesn't have the external non-football issues that Isaiah Wilson has. So hopefully if it's just injury related and he can fight his way back, they'll have a good player. But that would be not getting a lot out of your last first round picks.
And what do they get from Bud Dupree? Bud Dupree at Pittsburgh. Of course, he had TJ on the other side. You know, so Bud Dupree was great at Pittsburgh. He did have a late season ACL, so you know, maybe that hampers him, that slows him down a little bit. So I don't know what is overrated mean. Are people thinking that they're a Super Bowl contender?
What is the
probably AFC title game, maybe not making the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've gotten there anyway. They've gotten there recently anyway. So yeah. I mean, it's not like. And they add Julio Jones and Bud Dupree.
They're not winning the division?
Well, I think the Colts are damn good.
If Carson Wentz is good.
I think, you know, it's funny looking at Philip Rivers' numbers. His numbers were pretty good, except his touchdowns and interceptions weren't great. But he threw for 4,000 yards.
The Colts were in a situation that the Chargers were in. Every game became a Philip Rivers game where It's like 3rd and 13 with a minute five to go. Can he drive his team down the field? That became they went through what San Diego's gone through for the last felt like decade. Can Carson Wentz improve on that? Because like you said, Phillip Rivers wasn't terrible. It's just that all the games were Phillip Rivers games.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Let's see.
You said it earlier though with him reuniting with Frank Wright. The play is he goes back to what he was doing.
Right.
The Eagles.
Well, let's see though. Phillip Rivers last year was 11-5 as a starter. His completion percentage was 68%. He threw for 4,169 yards. He had 24 TDs and 11 interceptions.
Yeah, he can't push the ball down the field. Passer rating of 97. Is Carson Wentz, a rebuilt Carson Wentz, going to provide those type of numbers? Should that be expected of him?
Okay. Will he throw for over 4,100 yards?
Let's see. I want to see if he's
I'm going to say the answer is no. First of all, I think
they're going to run the ball, right?
With Jonathan Taylor and Naheem Hines. I mean, they're going to run the football.
I agree. Like, Carson Wentz, even in his best year, like, you know, he got hurt when he was on an MVP-type pace back in 17. He still only threw for in 13 starts, threw for 3,300 yards. So he probably would have gotten close to what Phillip Rivers did. Never thrown for that many yards in a season. So it would be a career high. And should I expect that from him?
No.
No. Will he throw 68%?
I could see it. I mean, he only reached that once in Philly.
Yeah, and he throws the ball down the field way more than Phillip Rivers does.
Lot less dink and dunk stuff, so yeah. That might be hard to reach. But if you're getting more explosive plays, then they'd be better off.
And will he throw more than 24 touchdowns? The thing is, will he throw fewer than 11 interceptions?
I'm going to say more than 24 touchdowns, more than 11.
More than 11 interceptions.
Yes.
Yeah, probably. More than likely, if he's anything like he was last year. So, yeah, I mean, the Colts, I think, should be the favorite in the division. But
I'll take Tennessee.
You're going to go Tennessee?
Yeah. I mean, the defense is very suspect, but I think they can control the ball, you know, with the running game.
So. Yeah. I mean, I think I think it's a coin flip. I think it's even money right now, which team is going to win the division. So that'll be interesting. There are two teams that are certainly a notch below the Super Bowl contenders. I don't think there's any question about that. So if people are putting Tennessee at Super Bowl contention level, then maybe they are. They certainly are overrated then. Because yeah. I don't know that they're going to be a Super Bowl. And then the other team that's overrated, the Saints. And we know we got a lot of Saints fans here. They signed Ryan Ramczyk to a long extension. They've got good play. Andres Pete, Eric McCoy is a really good center. Cesar Ruiz, all high picks. So they've taken care of the offensive line. We know they got Michael Thomas, who's a nut job. It was a little goofy.
Well, he's petty and whiny.
And whiny is the way you're describing.
Yeah, I don't know if he's nuts. There are tears to this, and he's an NFL wide receiver who has the ability to tweet at people. He's petty.
Yeah,
I call him that. Getting in fights with random cornerbacks because they say all he does is run slants. He feels disrespected at all times.
They're saying they're overrated. I mean, are the Saints picked to be a contender in the NFC? Even with Jameis Winston?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. I think the people still have a lot of high hopes for this team because their roster is pretty good. I mean, they got Marshawn Lattimore. They've got Cam Jordan. He's 32 years old now. They picked up Paulson Adebo, who's probably going to be on the field. They got C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Demario Davis, Malcolm Jenkins, he's old now.
Isn't he 45?
He's 34.
Like he's been around forever.
I know, it feels like forever.
And he has been around.
Forever. But they've got some good players, but the whole thing is going to be, Sean Payton is good. I just don't know how much... The ceiling certainly isn't the roof. Well, the ceiling is the roof for Jameis. If he can cut down on the interceptions, which is a big if, but he's always thrown interceptions, so he's going to throw interceptions.
Yeah, since he became the prominent, since 2013, his Heisman year, he throws a lot of interceptions.
That's what he does.
Yes.
It's just what he does. He makes bad decisions. And then there's Taysom Hill, who I'm going to tell you this. Who starts more games this year, Jameis or Taysom Hill?
If Jameis is healthy, he's going to start.
Oh, I don't know. What about play? How well is he going to play?
True. If he starts throwing pick after pick, he'll be out.
You can't put him out. And especially, there's already talk right now that Sean Payton he's leaning towards Taysom starting.
Wow.
Now, I don't know where that comes from. Probably came from some reporter's mouth out of his mind. Who knows? I don't know that Sean Payton would ever give you any indication of that.
Well, that just cuts down his play chart. I mean, when you have Taysom in there. I mean, he can do a lot more things than Jameis, but you're not going to be throwing the ball all the time.
No, well, he proved that he can, you know, he can win you a couple of games.
As long as that Hinton dude is on the other side playing for the Broncos.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah. The guy whose gloves made it into the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Ineptitude.
A wide receiver who started a quarterback.
Yeah. 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 I think there's certainly a ceiling with the Saints with Taysom Hill. I don't think he's a proficient enough thrower of the football to, and that's why I would agree. No matter what their quarterback situation is, if people are talking about them as a potential challenger to the Bucs, really with Taysom or Jameis, I don't see it. Sean Payton would have to do his best coaching job, probably ever.
Yes. Yes. I mean, maybe he is the quarterback whisperer, and he had Drew Brees throwing at 80% completion, and maybe in this offense, Jameis not taking, you know, throwing risky passes down the field.
In the year that Jameis has been there, a year plus now, he has learned to take care of the football. Okay, because Jameis has enough talent that they could be pretty good, but I think if he turns Jameis into a guy who's more careful, it would be a big feather in his cap, and then maybe they're not overrated. But I have to see it first.
Yeah, yeah, no. I don't know. I've just never been a big believer.
Eating W's.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I just never been a believer.
When you see that, you got to be the biggest Jameis back in the world to look at that and go, yeah, I don't want him playing quarterback for me. You got to be the biggest fan when you see your quarterback num on his own fingers.
And I want him.
Yeah, to think I still want that guy to play quarterback.
I gotta have that guy.
Yeah.
No, you got to be a huge Jameis fan or a huge Saints fan. Well, that guy's going to get it done. Eating W's.
Even his own teammates at the time are like, what is he doing?
What are you doing, Jameis? They were all looking at him. Oh, this is not good. This is not good. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here to hang with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Some more developments in the – yeah, listen, lawmakers are going to get involved in this Texas thing, Texas OU thing. Sure. And they already are. We'll tell you who and how on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This is a pretty funny sign. Somebody wrote on a chalkboard outside. It's outside somewhere. I guess we should retire the expression, avoid it like the plague, given how little effort people put into avoiding an actual plague.
Yeah, people are staring into this thing.
People are like, hey, we got a way for you to avoid a plague. Nah.
I'm not getting the vaccine.
Nah. What? Wait a minute. You can avoid a plague. Well.
Maybe if it got a better name. Like, when you hear the Black Death, that is something, or the pox. You don't want that.
pox on you.
Maybe the branding is the problem.
Huh.
Like, or maybe if it was a visual thing, like if people, if they flash to the hospitals that B-roll footage and there's like pox on your face.
Yeah.
Maybe that would scare people enough.
Oh, no, no, no. If it wasn't internal, if you could see this thing, everybody would get the vaccine.
You think if the doctors put on plague masks, like they do those big masks, if you've ever seen one of those medieval movies, you've seen those healers have those plague masks. If you think if doctors wore those, it would change the perception?
Maybe not. I don't know. But the Black Death, where it's, you get it all over your face and your neck and everything else, if you could see it,
mm-hmm.
then we would definitely, everybody.
COVID has a branding problem, I think.
We'd all be in line after the Kardashians. Monica Lewinsky. Happy birthday to her. Monica Lewinsky's birthday today,
there you
guys.
Go. There you go.
I don't know how to handle that. What do we say?
She's, was it 47?
48.
Oh, man, I almost had it.
Yeah.
How about that?
48.
Hey, let me tell you a quick story. So I'm at the White House when the Comets were there. So this would have been about 2004. You know, we went, Clinton was the president back then. So 2003, 2004. And so they were having the ceremony with the Comets out in the Rose Garden. So I meet the ABC photographer out there, and I'm standing there. They got a riser up and cameras and everything. And I'm standing there, and I go, hey, is that the Oval Office, the door to the Oval Office over there? And he goes, yeah, right there. I go, is that the one that Monica went into? And he goes, yeah, right there. That's the door.
So you saw the actual door.
The door. I was right there.
The door to the humidor. So she says this. It's my 48th birthday today, and it marks that I've now been a public person for half my life. Such a strange, strange thought. Anyway, grateful to all of you who are part of my community here. I feel, you know what? She's actually leaned into this thing. She comes up with some funny lines, like,
because she's probably heard it all.
Oh my! But she actually if there is some big event, you know, publicly, socially, or whatever, she'll every once in a while just give a shot. The eyeballs or whatever,
because yeah, it's somehow related to her. Look. It has been, you know, when you're known for what she became known for, to find a way around it and find a way to have a public life that's been pretty damn successful.
Yeah.
It's kind of remarkable. It's a credit to her, I guess, her fortitude, because for some people that could have been a moment where you just run and hide and we never see you again. Found a way.
No, she leans into it. It's kind of funny, actually. She's got a good sense of humor. But she has to be known, like, I mean, you know, we got the Najee Davenport thing, right? Did you always think
that is particularly your thing.
Well, that kind of is.
You probably mentioned Najee Davenport more than anyone.
Oh, way more than anyone. Look up Najee Davenport. In a hamper.
Yeah.
And you'll find out what Najee Davenport did. But she is the face of, when Frankie started for the congressman, first thing I told her was, don't be Monica Lewinsky.
Why would you say that to your daughter?
Because.
What's the matter with you?
Because that's because you
don't. Does she even know who
Monica Lewinsky is?
Because that was before her time.
That was way before her time. But you know, okay, Frankie, don't be Monica Lewinsky.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
Okay, Dad.
I'm not going to fall in love or whatever you want to call it with
Frankie. Frankie called me four times yesterday because she went to see Sebastian Maniscalco.
Uh-huh. One of your favorites.
Well, he's a really Chicago. He goes, she goes, Dad, he just reminds me of you. He's just, and anyway, and then she saw him at a casino there in right outside of Washington in Virginia, and she won. She put down $5 on a roulette table and hit it, which is the worst thing that could possibly happen
for someone. Yeah,
and she called me and she was all like, Dad, what was that?
Oh, that's not me. I think that was
the
phone.
Oh, that was you. That was me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, she won. And then after Maniscalco, she went back to the tables and lost it all.
Well, that's how it goes.
Well, that's the best thing that could have possibly happened. So you realize that next time you go, that you don't win, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. So you just learned what your dad has learned over many, many years.
They call it gambling for a reason.
Four prominent lawmakers one each with ties to Baylor University, Texas Christian University, Texas Tech University, and Texas A&M University, met with Governor Greg Abbott's staff Thursday about this UTOU thing. And they're trying, and they're now lawmakers, and I would imagine this is happening in Oklahoma as well. Oklahoma State people, as we mentioned, the governor is from Oklahoma State. There are lawmakers in the legislature that are Oklahoma State people. So I would imagine that lawmakers are definitely going to get involved in this thing.
It's no surprise that Texas lawmakers are trying to prevent the Director's Cup champions from leaving the Big 12.
So,
and no surprise.
So, yesterday, a guy called in, for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, you know, how attractive Texas is because they won the Director's Cup. You know what the Director's Cup
is? Remind me of what the Director's Cup is.
That's the point.
The Director's Cup is all sports, men's and women's, who had the best year when you combine championships, conference championships, national championships, wins, all these things that go into, I guess, I'm guessing this is all that goes into the Director's Cup.
It is a thing that Stanford dominates because of all the winning they do in the non-revenue sports.
The non-revenue sports. Yes. Now, they've cut back on their non-revenue sports, so.
I saw that because we had an intern who had directly affected. They've actually had a rethink on that.
Oh, really?
Where those sports are going to come back.
Oh, really? Good for them.
Yes.
At Stanford, they're coming back?
Yeah, like the fencing team, which is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those sports, I believe, are coming back.
Good for them. So, I had. So Horns fan 29. So we were all like we kind of poo pooed it, dude. The SEC don't care about the Director's Cup. They don't care. Who was it? Women's rowing. What did they win national championships in? Track and field, I believe. Went men's and women's track and field and women's rowing. Texas did last year, and we're like, dude, the SEC don't care about that. That ain't something the SEC is gonna lean into.
They wish it was track and field. It was men's swimming and diving, women's rowing and women's tennis.
Women's rowing and women's tennis. So, anyway,
congrats.
Horns fan 29 says, "Oh, the Aggie station, if the Aggies had won the Director's Cup, that's all they'd be talking about." I was like, what? Dude, women's rowing and men's and women's diving? That's all we'd be talking about? How great Texas A&M was?
Honestly, the numbers should be relative. Like, for example, now we're into this. Stanford won a national championship in women's basketball. That should count for more than, they finished like second. That should count for more than the men's swimming and diving. Shouldn't it?
Is there a point system?
You have to. They have some qualifications. Like, you have to qualify in basketball, even if you don't win it. You have to qualify in a couple of sports to even be considered. You win women's basketball. You should rise above men's swimming and diving, because one of them.
So what you're telling me is...
So you're saying that's more important.
Yes.
That football is more important than men's and women's diving.
And women's basketball.
The men's and women's diving would disagree, pal.
And it's not men. They just won men swimming and diving.
Okay. Oh. So does every national champion get the same points?
Look, you're asking us too many questions.
We're getting deep into this
now. I just
now.
Heard about it for the first time yesterday.
I don't know.
If you win a national championship, do you get 20 points?
But listen... If it was the Aggies that did it, boy, it would have been. It's all we could talk about.
We had the rowing coach on deck waiting for the results. He was going to call in.
All
the
rowing coach. Yeah,
get the rowing coach to call in for us.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No one's talking about the Director's Cup.
I mean, no one cares about the Director's Cup, dude. But I've never seen, like, doesn't it seem a little sense? Doesn't it seem a Longhorn that you're for him to be saying it's all they talk about over there. And I was like, dude, I didn't even know what the Director's Cup was yesterday. I couldn't give two bleeps about it.
I do.
Sure.
I remember things that don't matter, so I know what it is. But I certainly wouldn't ever put it on the rundown.
But Horns fan 29. I don't think I've ever seen a Horn with an inferiority complex that he's like, you talk about it all if it was the Aggies. I mean, I've never seen that, really.
I have. It's just, I think a lot of it is inferiority complex. When you have to talk about yourself in a certain way just to make yourself feel better, it's because you don't feel great. It's fake. And without football being great and basketball being disappointing, you have to find other things to make yourself feel good. And the Director's Cup is apparently the thing for Horns fan 29.
Well, yeah, when the Aggies finished fifth. Oh, they finished fifth. Big deal. They get in the playoff? No.
Yeah.
They didn't do nothing. They still suck.
We had our preeminent Longhorn fan call in and talk about how, can you really take it seriously in a COVID year?
What?
Okay.
No, they were a pretty good football team.
Yeah, it's fine to acknowledge they had a really good year.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. But can you take it seriously in a COVID year?
I don't know. Can you take your win over Georgia when they didn't care about it in the bowl game seriously?
They were back.
Yeah.
They're back.
Texas is back, folks. I don't know if you heard.
They were back.
But Texas is back, folks. Hey, listen. I want to see the Longhorns in the SEC.
I kind of do, too.
It'll up the ante for the whole – I think it ups the ante for all of college football.
If you're a college football fan, man, why not? Let's go.
I mean, every week.
I mean it.
Honestly, Oklahoma's going to be playing Florida. Texas will be playing LSU or Alabama. Or it just ups the ante over.
Every week's a playoff game.
Yeah.
Almost. I'm like,
no,
let's
you're going to have a premier – because last year, Dell – We had a bunch of weeks where we were like, there were a couple of games.
There were some duds, man.
Well, yeah. You had games getting canceled or removed, so it lessened the slate, and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten didn't start playing until late in the year. So early in the year, before those conferences came around, you had some soft weeks where you were hoping to find a game that was interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, there were plenty of stinker weeks. You're like, there's really nothing. Man, you put those teams in the SEC, and I don't think you can avoid a week. I don't think it's possible that you can have a week where you wouldn't have two powerhouses playing each other.
Be awesome.
Yep.
Be awesome.
Yep. All right, 737-780-3776 to get in here to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. On the other side, let's get back to Astro Talk. Let's talk a little bit about our guys, our team. Off yesterday, but they are back at it tonight against the vaunted and hated. Going for that silver boot, which is so elusive. Actually, they win it every year. Except that one year where they got Texas, actually kept them out of the playoffs in 16, I want to say. They kept them out of the playoffs in 16, I believe it was. And so 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Plus, the Indians are changing their name. We'll tell you what it's going to be on the other side, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I got my man, John Clay Wolf, joining us here. He's going to be on with you tomorrow. He's getting ready for his show right now. You write out everything on your show, right? You plan every single word. You pretty much write it all out, right?
There's a little bit unscripted, like 90% unscripted, 10% scripted.
And you don't do any of the scripted stuff, right?
I try. I mean, we've got a run sheet we go through. Baba puts together. But he's lazy, so he goes through and grabs a bunch of filler stories. Have you ever had a producer do this just to be able to turn in a show? They just cover your sheet with a bunch of filler stories, like crap that nobody cares about?
Yeah.
So you don't hit any of it because it's not good enough there. But did they do their job? Did they produce a show? Did they give you content? Yes. Does it suck? Yes. Should he be fired for it? Absolutely, if I had enough time. But I don't. So I just skip all his crap and make up my own.
Right. Well, tell him to go to News of the Weird, find News of the Weird stuff, and then that's good show content.
Okay.
Yeah, because you find Reddit has a good site, News of the Weird, that I go to, and we do that. all the time here. And that's good filler because it's really people doing a lot of stupid things. But you're doing a stupid thing if you wait after August to sell your car, because this is it's crazy right now, isn't it?
It's still so damn high. It's come down a tick, but it's still just goofy high. And this car boom, $15. I mean, think of it like $15 a stick 2x4s. So we're in that moment of used cars,
right?
And it will end in August. And if you want to take advantage of it, take advantage of it. But please, if you got a bid from us, give me the VIN like now. And then in October, when you get one that's $10,000 less, please don't write bad reviews about me or Granado or my wife or kids. Like, we're bad people, because we're trying to tell you, sell it now. Because in October, I promise you, a $60,000, $70,000, $30,000 car will be $5,000 to $10,000 less than what it is now.
That's...
I don't know how else to explain it.
Well, so do you think that the manufacturers are going to be able to start putting out the cars at a faster rate then, right?
Yes.
So that's the thing. Right now, it's so slow getting those chips and getting those new cars out that's driven the price of used cars up. But that's going to end, right?
Here's what's happening, and please, if you're an overweight person, don't be offended by this bad analogy. But, Renato, you've been there. I know you. So, the fat girls at the end of the night, 2:05, bars closing. What if there was just a run on them, right? And there was this moment when they're just so much more desirable than the hot blah, blah, blah girls, right? All of a sudden, it's all about fat girls, and everybody's just throwing cake at them and giving them money and buying them cars and doing all this crazy stuff. That's what we're in with used cars.
Yeah, but then the hot girls are going to show back up.
Yes.
Right. I gotcha. I thought you said 2:05 and you were that was the wait, but that was 2:05. You're talking about 2:05 in the morning. I gotcha.
Yes.
No, I gotcha. No. It's good. That's a great analogy, but here's something better. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Listen to John Clay Wolf tomorrow morning right here at ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.